Humble and obedient servant on the, Air America, no, IE America, no, Nova M Radio Network. What kind of a hog killing is going on down in Florida? I swear to God, these television commentators are very reminiscent to me of the excitement we used to feel back in the day when we would take our .22 caliber rifles and drive out to the city dump with about 8 6-packs of Stroh's, America's fire-brewed beer. And there were three of us, and we'd get in the back of Jerry's truck, and we would sit there and get liquored up as much as you can on 3.2 alcohol beer and sit there and shoot rats at the dump. And it was an awful lot of fun. I know it's murder, and they're God's creatures and all this other crapola, but it was great fun. Well, watching Chris Matthews and Pat Buchanan, and even my good friend Rachel Maddow on MSNBC, that it's like they all have .22 caliber rifles, and well, you had to have been there, I guess. How y'all doing tonight? What the hell is going on in Florida? Hillary Clinton, C L I N T O N, Hillary Clinton has raked in, what, 500,000 votes or 1 trillion votes or whatever, and none of it counts? Oh, my God. What is it about votes in Florida that they just don't count? Unless you're a Republican. Now, Hillary says they are going to count, so we'll see. Hillary has got 51-52% of the vote. She's already claiming victory in what she refers to as an election. Mrs. Clinton, it's not an election. It really isn't, but that's all right. And on the Republican side, thank the cosmic thunderer or the hairy muffin, whatever he or she is, who sits up in heaven and manipulates all this crapola with strings, the master marionetteer. Rudy Giuliani will no longer be around when this is over tonight. Thank you, God, goddess, thingy, whatever. Oh, my God, I'm sick of him and his wives and his children and his sneaking around. And, hey, go away, Rudy. Go back to New Jersey. Get a job for a waste hauling company and mix with your friends. And take Huckabee with you. Oh. But we're not going to focus on all that bat squeeze tonight. We really aren't. And again, welcome to our Dallas, Texas truth seekers. Hey, Dallas. Hey, Fort Worth. And all you itty-bitty towns sort of tucked in between. We are now live on 1360 AM KMN. KMNY? Is that what it is? KMNY. You think that'd be a New York station except for the K. 1360 on the dial. So, hello to all you Dallas and Fort Worth long, tall Texans. Glad to be back in the Lone Star State. We do have some moron sounds for you tonight, a selection of the most boring State of the Union ever from the worst president in the history of this republic, or just damn near any republic. And, of course, the lackluster response from the assembled members, except for these mouth-breathing, itchy-crotch Republicans who had to leap up at every chance and applaud this idiot. But most people with a brain just were not interested. The press, the world, yawn. When does American Idol come on? You know, it's kind of like that. And who cares about this idiot? We're focusing on his replacement, right? Sad to say, It's a bad sign for Raisin Brain when the most exciting moments in his farewell State of the Union address occurs when the camera catches Hillary and Barack in the audience ignoring each other. Ooh, not good. Not good. So stick around. A lot of fun and frivolity tonight. Oh, please go away, Huckabee. Please go away, Giuliani. McCain. It's going to be McCain and Clinton or Barack or somebody else. All right. We've got to pull ourselves away from this crack pipe. We really, really do. And that's all American politics is. It's just a great big... Oh, Christ! Oh, we have to stop that. We have to stop that. CBS News reported last spring, and we talked about it in the program then, and you already know this. Some of you know it a hell of a lot more so than others among us. But FEMA failed to acknowledge the respiratory illnesses associated with and other health problems associated with the toxic chemical formaldehyde that FEMA knew was in the travel trailers that became home for hundreds of thousands of people fleeing another example of Bush's incompetence on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And according to the statistic I have in front of me, more than 140,000 families have lived in those toxic trailers. More than 40,000 families still do. So, CBS News has now learned that this public health fiasco reached far beyond FEMA into the CDC. This is a clear example of how the Bush crime family works. Is there any agency? Christ, I get tired of asking this question because the answer is always a resounding capital N, no. Is there any agency that these corrupt pigs have not corrupted? Is there any agency that have not corrupted? Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds okay. No. And the answer is no. A million times no. CBS News is now reporting that the CDC, the nation's top public health agency, right here in Atlanta, the zipper of the Bible pants or the buckle of the Bible belt, that the CDC suppressed repeated warnings from one of its own top scientists that raised questions about formaldehyde-laced trailers. Unbelievable. Apparently, CDC bowed to pressure from FEMA to conceal the long-term health risks of formaldehyde in those trailers that it distributed to people who have been victimized so many times now in the past 2.5 years. It's astonishing. The people who were just living their lives in New Orleans. Oh, I know. Some of them were pimps and drug dealers and probably a few killers and gangbangers. But there were also men and women who were living decent lives and kids and children and high school students and college students and grandmammies and grandpappies and people who had lived there for 1, 2, 3, 4 generations and cooks and Cajun food aficionados and all those people tossed to the winds. And how much torture? What happened to the people of New Orleans and the people of the Mississippi Gulf Coast? What did they do to deserve that? I'll tell you what they did. They got born in the United States of America and lived during the age of Bush. And this is their punishment. Ah, you poor devils. You break my heart. Now this. A string of internal documents obtained exclusively by CBS News reveal. Well, let's just wait a second and take a break, and I'll tell you what they reveal when we come back. It's just oh, God, don't say mind-boggling again. Please, please don't say that. It just beggars the imagination to think that the top scientist at CDC was squashed like a bug and the political operatives at FEMA ruled. CDC, the nation's top public health agency, is now nothing but a street whore, no offense to sex workers, a street whore with George Bush as the pimp. Stick around, truth seekers. It's going to be a rough ride tonight.
Anybody anticipated the breach of the levees.
And the thing about the song that I always loved was when it got the Academy Award, the three writers or two writers came on stage and thanked Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for letting me write the pimp song. We are blessed. Jesus got inside my head and told me how to write this pimp song. CBS is revealing a string of internal documents that show that Dr. Christopher DeRose, the director of the CDC's Division of Toxicology and Environmental Medicine, told his superiors at CDC, quote, there is no safe level of exposure, end quote, to formaldehyde in trailers. And, of course, that warning never made it into any public report about the trailers. No enterprising Woodward and Bernstein or Seymour Hersh or anybody ever dug around, not those guys particularly, but I'm talking about any reporter, any newsman here in, Atlanta, ever dug around to find out that these sons of bitches had the report, they had the information. No, let's further torture and murder the refugees, the DPs from the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Let's further destroy them. Let's put them in these trailers where they're going to get sick maybe 10 years from now, 15 years from now, where their children are going to develop COPD when they're 14. That's right. Let's do it. Why? Because FEMA tells us to. Now, who to be pissed off here? In addition to DeRosa sending in to his superiors this report that there's no safe level of exposure to formaldehyde, DeRosa also wrote an email that two of his staff members had been directed by FEMA officials specifically not to address the longer-term health effects of formaldehyde. This was in a February 2007 report. Specifically, don't address it. It wasn't until October of 2007, this past October, after 8 months and pressure from congressional investigators, according to CBS, that the CDC revised its February report and finally issued warnings about cancer and other long-term health risks of formaldehyde. In October 2007, how long had people been in the trailers? That's right, almost 2 years. DeRosa refused an on-camera interview with CBS News. Of course not, because he is a rotten son of a bitch. If he has a physician's license, it should be taken away. This guy should go kill himself. He should go commit suicide. That's what he would do in Japan or in a nation that practiced a form of heavily karmic Buddhism. DeRosa, who warned his superiors, and when they shot back and said, shut your mouth, he shut his mouth. And now he won't talk to CBS. You think he'll testify before a House committee? What House committee? No one's going to challenge Bush? Are you kidding? The CDC did not comment on these documents that CBS has their hands on now, but the CDC said it changed the report after it realized there was a problem. Well, when would that have been? The report came out in February of 2007. Oh, that's right. In October of 2007, somebody at the CDC finally had one of those light bulb moments.
You know that report from 8 months ago? You know that thing DeRosa warned us about?
Every single agency in the United States government has been corrupted almost beyond repair. Every single regulatory agency, up to and including, for God's sake, the Center for Disease Control, the nation's top public health agency. The military is destroyed. Environmental Protection Agency is destroyed. Food and Drug Administration. All of it. OSHA. Everything. Everything. These Bush bastards, this corporatist drive to destroy even the slightest checks and balances on vicious, animalistic, predatory capitalism, every single restraint has been removed. Now, let me ask you something, Truth Seeker. Do you think Hillary Clinton will replace all these regulations? Eh? Do you? You think? Well, you want my opinion? Wait for it. No, she won't. So, here we are. Who will replace him? Oh, Dennis Kucinich would. And I think John Edwards would. Oh, wait a second. Kucinich has got now. Oh, by the way, did you know Kucinich backed down? Yesterday, during the State of the Union, he did not introduce the articles of impeachment. What did they do? Threaten to kill him? Yeah, probably. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
I'd like to see the lazy Mississippi a-hurrying in to spring. Oh, the Mardi Gras, the memories of Creole's tunes that fill the air. I dream of old Yanders in June, and soon I'm wishing that I were there. Do you know what it means to miss New Orleans when that's where you left your heart?
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. It's about 25 before the hour. So Romney's up there now giving his... Mitten Romney's giving his cloying, choking speech about when he was a kid and the servants used to hang the laundry out in the backyard on the clothesline and... You know, that kind of crap. But right before Mittens was Giuliani with his chrome dome just sweating. That was pretty weird. How many of you have seen the movie True Romance? With everybody was in it. Brad Pitt, Christian Slater, Patricia Arquette, even James Gandolfini. So many people were in it. I can't even... it was one of the greatest movies ever made. Dennis Hopper was in it. What's his name? Gary Oldman was in it. Who was the mafia hit guy that came and shot Dennis Hopper? Who was that? Oh my God! He was Christopher Walken. It is if you have not seen True Romance, I beg you, go get it and see it. Why am I mentioning it? Because in True Romance, it's a real gangster film. It is just unbelievable. It was written by. The writer from Detroit, drawn a blank on his name, too. He's written so many novels that have been turned into movies. But the guy's a genius, the writer. So they made this movie, True Romance. And there's a scene. Brad Pitt is in the scene. It's the only scene Brad Pitt is in. And I think this is before Bradley made it the big time. And he's stoned on his ass, and he's in an apartment in L.A. And all of a sudden, all these gunsels from Detroit show up, and they're looking for Christian Slater and Patricia Arquette. And Brad Pitt is sitting there, you know, and he's got a bong, and he offers them some. And these are killers. So they're 4 or 5. I mean, real mafia hitmen. And they're after Christian Slater and Patricia Arquette. The reason I bring this up, the extras, not James Gandolfini or some one of the other well-known names, the gangsters, but there were 3 or 4 gangsters standing around Brad Pitt with their sunglasses on and carrying semi-automatic weapons and in their suits and coats and ties, watching Rudy Giuliani. There was a guy standing behind him as Giuliani gave his whatever the hell speech it was about the 15% vote he got in Florida tonight. And there was a guy standing behind Giuliani up on the podium, up on the stage, over Giuliani's left shoulder, which would be, as we look at the screen, the right shoulder. And it looked just like one of those guys, all the way to those wraparound sunglasses. No, this was not a Secret Service. This is one of Giuliani's boys, you know what I'm saying? And then over Giuliani's right shoulder, which would be the left shoulder, as you look at the screen, there was another one. Holy Christ! There they are! And I'm Italian. But I'm Italian without the Italian name. That's why, you know, we've got Irish in the family. That's why I could never be a made man. But there stood Giuliani with 2 of these gunsels from the movie True Romance. There they were! And Giuliani, with his sweating, huge forehead, standing there saying, well, you know, I mean, you know, America's great. And I got 217,000 votes tonight. And it was, you know, all the people moved down here from the Bronx and Brooklyn and Staten Island, Queens and Manhattan that came down here and, you know, were very grateful to vote for me again because, you know, I got rid of all the Haitians. I had them all shot dead. And, you know, Amadou Diallo, who's that? Well, we got him with a broomstick, didn't we? A little joke there. And we got the Negroes off the streets and we got everybody cleaned out. You know what I'm saying? Huh? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Huh? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Rudy, please go away. Find the portal to hell that you came out of. Open it. Go back. Please, and take Mitt Romney with you. Now, the script was of True Romance was written by Quentin Tarantino, but that's not who wrote the book. It came from a book, and I'm drawing a blank on the book. The guy is a famous writer. Oh, what the hell? Oh, well, it doesn't matter. Sorry. Just tripped off into the ozone there, didn't I? John in San Antonio writes about what's parading across the television sets tonight. He writes, Mike, and there's Hillary dancing around like she won something, having a party. I love our choices, John writes, of maverick, quote, McCain, who is no maverick, but a murderous, insane, trigger-happy madman. And our other choice is also a Bush light, Clinton. That's right, I said it. Cut from the same cloth. Rovians in disguise. I can see the pardons coming. No doubt. Bush will still be able to bass fish. And our other choices besides these 2 jackasses? Obama? These illiterate hicks aren't ready to vote for a black man? This is the same America that believes the 9/11 story because they were told what happened. Why bother checking it out, right? They still believe the 9/11 story and would be in love with this war if we were winning. We will never have an anti-war liberal nominee. When the stinking crap hits the fan, the conservative idiots fight harder, go further to the right. And the Democrats, instead of standing for something, they think their best chance is to act like Republicans. American people, John writes, only need to think they have a choice, when in reality, the real opposition is never heard, and when heard, mocked and ostracized. Like Dennis Kucinich. The people's choices are all just different brands of vanilla. John, San Antonio. A murderous, insane, trigger-happy madman. Yeah, that pretty much gets McCain. That's I think if he took that MMPI, Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Index, I think that's probably what a good test evaluator or questionnaire evaluator would come up with. Is that a word, evaluator? Is that a word, Kathy? Someone who evaluates? I think it is. I think that would be trigger-happy, insane, murderous madman. I think so. I think so. Everybody still here? Okay. Another email here. This is from Bridget. I read a lot of emails on this program because y'all are so damn good. Bridget writes, how many ways can I find to tell you how nauseated I am? I've been back and forth between the radio and the TV tonight. She wrote this last night during the State of the Union. And I'm somewhere between horrified and feeling like I've landed in an alternate universe. Let's start with the fawning freaks reaching for the smirking chimp's hands when he entered the chamber like he was the Pope. I've never been up close to charismatic political figures, although I did have a long chat with Hubert Humphrey in a diner in Minnesota a lot of years ago, but I lived in L.A. long enough to see what happens to ordinary sane people around other people with fame and power. There's an aura that surrounds anyone with a position of public power, like politicians, or visibility, like entertainers, and I use that term loosely. This aura that seems to make most people dirty their underwear. This is the same idiocy that makes people vote against their own interests. A projection and identification with someone who is known beyond the realm of their own family, who is not known beyond the realm of their own family and friends. Add to all of that the insulation and disconnection of those who have been in the Beltway for more than 2 minutes, and you begin to realize that any search for the truth sends you into the Twilight Zone. I don't know what to do anymore, Mike. I know that chances are that whichever Democrat is nominated, should he or she be elected, the chances are that they will simply continue in a slightly different direction, the same basic assumptions of the last 40 years or more. But sometimes when I listen to Obama, I hear echoes of what motivated me and thousands of others to fight for peace and justice, join the Peace Corps, believe in what might be possible. I don't know if that's projection on my part. I don't know if I care. Who knows what might happen if we are given a dream to believe in again? Bridget, P.S. I think I've probably had way too much gin tonight. And regarding that SOTU last night, this came from Mike in Chicago. It's a letter he sent to Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and he copied me. And yeah, I can see on the to and from up here in the CC, it went to her. He writes, Mike in Chicago writes, "Dear Nancy, for you to introduce the criminal that has hijacked the Constitution as my distinct honor, I wish things from the biblical days on you." Oh my God. "I wish things from the biblical days on you. You are even more wretched than Joe Lieberman when it comes to betrayal of the Democratic Party. Isn't it funny," Mike writes, "how the Sean insanities and the pill-popping Limbaughs of this world no longer think of you as the Antichrist? Do you know why, Nancy? Because you're on the payroll now. That's why. You sicken me, along with everyone else who ever wanted to give women a chance as Speaker of the House. I hope you're proud of yourself, Nancy. Apparently you won't either listen or care about your constituents when it comes to impeachment. And when the history books write about the first woman Speaker of the House, you'll be remembered as a miserable failure. Take care, traitor. Mike, Chicago."
Soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malone.
10 before the hour. So I'm driving around today, driving home from the chiropractors, and it's just about that time, so I switch over from Sirius Satellite Radio to NPR, the local station here in Atlanta. Just in time for All Things Considered. And I hear a story from Ann Garrels, who is in Baghdad, the NPR reporter. I think she used to work for ABC, didn't she? Anyway, she works for NPR now. She's in Baghdad, and she's doing a story on the lives of Iraqi women since the fall of Saddam. Astonishing. She one of the first things she said, most everyone in Iraq has suffered because of violence, but the lives of women have been perhaps affected the most. Their right to go where and do what they wish has been dramatically restricted by the rise of Islamist parties and extremist groups. Women's rights groups report that in the past 6 months, more than 100 women have been killed in the city of Basra alone for wearing makeup, or what is considered to be Western clothing. Those who dare to defend them also have been attacked, and in some cases killed. And then the report went on. There was some live sound interview with several women. It was a rather lengthy report, all things considered. You know, it was one of their 4, 5, 6 minute pieces. Excellent reporting. The kind of radio that just, oh my God, if television news were like NPR radio, we would all kind of be informed, wouldn't we? But during the piece, I couldn't help but remember what this filthy, murderous little son of a bitch said last night. That would be George Bush I'm referring to for you people in Texas that are listening on our Dallas affiliate. I kept thinking what he said last night about how the people of Iraq and Afghanistan had been given their freedom because he chose to invade and kill and overthrow governments and eat people alive. And as a matter of fact, where is it? Kathy, let me find that. It's just horrifying, horrifying. So I listened to this. Excuse me. I listened to Ann Garrels' report. Here we go. Let's play. According to the National Security Network, whatever that is, Mohammed Hanif Atmar, this is about Afghanistan. No, I'm talking about Iraq. The women in Iraq who are being butchered. I guess we have something here on Afghanistan. We'll get to next hour. But women being dragged out of their cars, the ones who are still driving cars, being dragged out of their places of business or their homes and shot dead on the spot. And if their children run out screaming, "Mommy, Mommy," they get to watch their mother executed by these religious sons of bitches, these Islamic freakoids. And Ann Garrels went on to explain, let me just back up a second. This is exactly what the Christian freakoids in this country would love to have happen here, too. Women are to shut up, stay behind closed doors. If you come outside, drape yourself in drapery material, and you can have a little slit for your eyes. That's it. Christian conservatives want the same thing as these Muslim conservatives. Trust me. Trust me. So I'm listening to this report about these horrors that are being visited on Iraqi women and how during the reign of Saddam Hussein, women were physicians, scientists, doctors. I already said that. Business owners. The women in Iraq, under the Ba'athist regime, for how many years, 20 years, 30 years, were the most liberated women in the Middle East. Now, that's not to say that Saddam Hussein was a nice guy. But the women in Iraq since George Bush's toy war that's murdered a million people, the women in Iraq now, are being dragged out of their homes because they happen to put on lipstick and executed. It is going to take 2 lifetimes, 10 lifetimes, maybe 100, for the Iraqi people with their tribal collective memories to ever, ever, ever forgive what the United States has done to their country. You and I will be dust in the wind if it ever happens. Your great, 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 great grandchildren might read something, if reading is still around then, if there's still anything around then that says, oh, by the way, the Iraqi people have finally forgiven the United States for the butchery visited upon this defenseless country 300 years ago. Oh, my God. So I listened to that, and at one point I thought, you know, you might as well turn around and go back to the chiropractor's office and get another adjustment, because this thing just whiplashed you. And then I realized, nah, it didn't whiplash my neck. It whiplashed my soul. And there's no adjustment that's going to fix that. All right. We have a break coming up here. Did you know the State of the Union address came with signing statements last night? Bush is signing. Yeah. David Swanson writing it after Downing Street. I want to share some of that with you when we come back. Also, we're going to have Raisin Brain. I'm giving you warning. You know, a lot of you bitch and moan, Malloy, why do you do that? Why do you play Bush? Give us a warning. Okay, here's a warning. And I'll give you a countdown when we come back to let you know when we're actually going to start playing sound of him. So you can, you know, take a break, go outside, breathe deep, whatever it is you do. All right? Stick around. We have miles to go before we sleep. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program on the Nova M Radio Network. Well, Giuliani has decided to get out and throw his support behind James Gandolfini. No. Behind John McCain. Oh, so this guy, so corporate America has worked its magic. We have Clinton and Obama on the Democratic side. No, I know, I understand. Look, I support John Edwards now. I really do. Or do I? I don't know anymore. I'm just going to become, and it doesn't matter who I support. Who do you support? Your vote will cancel my vote anyway, or mine will cancel yours. And on the Republican side, oh my, John McCain and Mitt Romney. Oh, I know Huckle Nut is still in it, but he won't be in it for very much longer. The Malloy Program's resident philosopher, Bob Alexander, sent this in. Mike, in order to avoid the insanity of partisan lunacy, perhaps we should forget about all those irksome facts that seem to spoil political discourse and vote for purely aesthetic reasons. There is no candidate running who seems to care about restoring habeas corpus and the rest of our gutted Constitution. The Iraq War seems to be some sort of abstract problem that will be addressed sometime after the election, and the economy will be healed magically by dropping $150 billion from airplanes in the hope that somebody spends it. As has been pointed out by people who are not insane, that perhaps the stimulus package should be designed along the lines of the old adage, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, but if you teach him to fish, etc., etc. The bipartisan stimulus package has a new spin on that. And here it is. Build a man a fire, and he'll be warm for a day. Set a man on fire, and he'll be warm for the rest of his life! Let's just admit that there isn't anybody running for president who truly embraces change, except the Republican candidates. The change they wholeheartedly endorse is for the worse. There's no reason to discuss the variations of hell they would visit upon the planet. The Democrats, on the other hand, represent an aesthetic change that we're all familiar with. In 1992, it was so easy to vote for Bill Clinton. If Clinton and Gore won, then we wouldn't have to look at Dan Quayle anymore. The Clinton-Gore ticket was aesthetically more pleasing. Same deal this go-around. A black president would make it seem that the incipient racism of the United States was finally beaten into dormancy. Completely untrue, of course, but it would look that way. And that's the important thing here. Same thing with the Hillary Clinton presidency. Sexism conquered! Fat chance. But it would be something we as a nation could point to as proof to the rest of the world that we're not completely a country of cavemen. So, Bob writes, I'm going to take the aesthetic route for this election, or selection, depending on what the Diebold machines tabulate. Nothing will change, but at least we'll look better. Kind of like if you're going to restore an old car, and the first thing you do is go buy some really good windshield wipers. It's a start. As Voltaire wrote in Candide, let us work without reason. It is the only way to make life bearable. Regards, Bob. A little note from the Malloy Program resident philosopher. All right, we have to do... Well, wait a second here. Let me see what... I think we have... David is calling from Ohio about the tax rebate, and our resident philosopher just mentioned that. So, David, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. You know, I think many people have forgotten history. That last rebate that everybody keeps talking about was not a rebate. It was an advance on our tax return.
Right, that's what it was.
We had to account for that.
That's right.
And they're selling us the same bill of goods this time?
Fool me once, shame on the who. No, won't get fooled again. I don't know. Yeah, absolutely.
And why haven't we been hearing more of this? You know, pointing out, let people realize that this is just a shell game.
Because, A, the media, whose job it is to inform us, they don't care. Most of us, not you, not me, not most of the listeners of this program, but most of us don't even understand what you just said. And lastly, nobody in America, myself including, has any memory left. Not because we did illegal drugs, but because we have spent, most of us, have spent most of our lives in front of a television set. And we have. And television is this giant narcotic. It's like Versed. It also has the capability of ending short-term, intermediate-range memory. So that's why nobody knows what the hell you're talking about, David.
Last time, if you got $600 coming back in your tax return, you got nothing because you already got it. If you owed the government $600, guess what?
You owed them
$1,200.
Right. The Lord giveth, the Lord peeth upon. So blessed be the name of the Lord. Thanks, David. I appreciate you checking in. It's always good to get a reality check here. Thanks, David. Take care. Take care. Flo is calling from Sunrise, Florida, listening on WINZ. Hey, Flo.
Hi, Mike. I'm just a little discouraged when McCain is supposedly taking the race down here. I think he's a warmonger.
Oh, without a doubt.
And I don't know. There's a lot of military people down here.
Yeah.
But I don't know why we have to go in that direction if we want change. He's not going to change a damn thing. I don't see where he's going to change anything.
Well, like our resident philosopher Bob said, Republicans are all for change. It's just the wrong kind of change. McCain wants endless war to a greater degree than Bush does. He wants war forever. Vote for McCain. He'll invade any damn thing in the Middle East that moves and some of the stuff that doesn't. He wants war. You know, he's a warrior, and he spent 6 years in captivity. He just wants more war. And if you get in his way, he will probably shoot you.
Well, I just can't. It's very discouraging.
It is indeed. But don't give up hope.
Hillary won down here.
Yes,
it was 50% to some, maybe 20 or 30 for Barack, and then Edwards left.
Yeah, Edwards just can't get out of the teens. I think
I
got 15-16% of the vote. And, of course, nothing counts in Florida for the Democrats. Of course, Hillary promised her cheering followers tonight that she would take care of that, by God. But you know, the state of Florida, Democratic renegades in Florida decided to hold their primary before Super Tuesday. So the Democratic National Committee is punishing them by saying, well, all right, then, no delegates for you.
I know.
No delegates. Go ahead and vote. No delegates for you. You know,
there's something wrong with this whole state of Florida. I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm living here, but we're getting the hell out as soon as we can sell our house and get out of here.
Well, like I said earlier tonight, what is it about Florida that the votes just can't ever get counted?
We're still using those machines.
The Diebold machine?
I think we have ESNS here.
Oh, same thing.
But we're still using those machines. We're supposed to get the paper trail, Chris says. But listen to this. The amendment passed that's supposed to reduce our taxes by $180, but it's going to cut into schools. We're going to get rid of policemen and firemen, and it's going to affect our parks.
But by God, the taxes will be cut. Huh? And see, the rich people can hire their own police force. They can send their children to private school, and they can take their vacations in the Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico.
And we'll have nothing.
And that's kind of it. Hey, thanks, Flo. I appreciate you checking in. Don't lose faith, okay?
Well, my daughter's foreclosing on her house. She had a title business. You can't have a title business with no closings.
That's very
true. She went to bankruptcy court. She put $10,000 down on a $20,000 car, and they might take that, too.
Oh, my God! Flo, here comes the train. I should have asked you about your daughter earlier. Thanks, Flo.
UFOs over New York, and I ain't too surprised.
Principle, and that is taxpayers' money for the use of experimentation that would destroy life is a principle that violates something is a position that violates a principle of mine.
So you can stick your
using taxpayer money to destroy human life, and that violates a principle of yours. You sick son of a bitch! You're responsible for the death of a million and a half people. Oh, wait a minute. You're talking about zygote death. I'm sorry. You're talking about blastocyst death. Well, then say that, drunk man. Don't say human death? Human life? All right, let's do just a few of these. Come on now. Everybody, stiff upper lip. I'll give you a 5-second countdown. If you need to turn off your radios or go do something, I understand. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now, here's Raisin Brain from last night touting his economic stimulus plan. And somebody tell me, what is destiny? Destiny.
As Americans, we believe in the power of individuals to determine their destiny and shape the course of history. We believe that the most reliable guide for our country is the collective wisdom of ordinary citizens.
Then why are we still
as
in Iraq?
Even tonight, our economy is undergoing a period of uncertainty. America's added jobs for a record 52 straight months.
At McDonald's.
But jobs are now growing at a slower pace.
Yeah.
Wages are up.
No, they're
but
not.
But so are prices for food and gas.
Wages are not up!
Exports are rising. But the housing market has declined.
Declined?
At kitchen tables across our country, there is a concern about our economic future. So last week, my administration reached agreement with Speaker Pelosi, Republican Leader Boehner, on a robust growth package that includes tax relief for individuals and families and incentives for business investment. The temptation will be to load up the bill. That would delay it or derail it, and neither option is acceptable.
Unless Republicans are in control, then it's all right. Then I don't say a word. But you goddamn Democrats who keep wanting to give children health care, you sick bastards, and food stamps and all that other FDR crap. So no pork, okay? No pork and no oatmeal and no government cheese. And no food stamps and no extension of unemployment benefits. That's not what this is about. That's not what this is about. This is about $150 billion that will go to here's something new in his speech, something for the kids. Bush's Pell Grants for Kids education plan is just a voucher plan for good, lemming-like Christians. And are the Chinese going to pony up the $300 million to pay for it?
We must also do more to help children when their schools do not measure up. Thanks to the D.C. Opportunity Scholarships you approved.
Thank you, Jesus.
More than 2,600 of the poorest children in our nation's capital have found new hope at a faith-based or other non-public school.
Hallelujah.
Sadly, these schools are disappearing at an alarming rate in many of America's inner cities.
Because they're scams!
So I will convene a White House summit aimed at strengthening these lifelines of learning.
Hallelujah.
And to open the doors of these schools to more children, I ask you to support a new $300 million program called Pell Grants for Kids.
Where's the money coming from?
We have seen how Pell Grants help low-income college students realize their full potential.
You cut the Pell Grants!
Together we've expanded the size and reach of these grants.
You have not!
Now let us apply the same spirit to help liberate poor children trapped in failing public schools.
Oh my God! He cut Pell Grants! My grandmother used to wash my mouth out with lava soap if I even came within the same county as a lie. Do any of you remember lava soap? I'm sure they probably still make it, but it's never, you never hear about it. Because the reason they called it lava was because it was full of grains of something grainy. And my grandparents had lava soap is because he had a gas station and tire store business. And he would come home at 6 o'clock every day and his hands would be black. And he wasn't a black man, he was an Italian, which is close, but not quite. And he would scrub his hands with lava soap. So when I would even think, and somehow my grandmother could figure out when I was thinking about lying, and she would grab me and take me in the bathroom and wash my mouth out with lava soap. Let me tell you something, truth seekers, there is nothing like that sensation. Why can't somebody just grab George Bush by the back? Where's my grandmother? Grandma! Son of a bitch, she died about 50 years ago, but I'll tell you what, if she were alive, she would go after him.
I'm a driver, I'm a winner. Things are gonna change, I can feel it. So
solving the issue about solvency farther down the road than any other president.
Yeah, okay. I guess it's off now, but I just watched something during that break while you all had to put up with commercials and stuff. I was watching MSNBC, Keith Olbermann, and Chris Matthews, whose man crushes are just becoming a pain. You know, I'm so sick of seeing Matthews just wet himself over various men. And they were both interviewing Hillary Clinton. And Chris Matthews truly looked like that he was sucking a lemon, or there was a lemon in one of his body openings as he tried to interview Hillary Clinton. It was just unbelievable. You know, I get a lot of emails from people that say, you know, Mike, the more they attack Hillary, the more I want to support her, even though under all things being equal, I probably wouldn't. I know that feeling, especially when it comes from some little pissant like Chris Matthews, who I don't know if McCain ever comes on Hardball, the name of that program will reach its truest meaning. If you know what I mean. Regarding lava soap, Michael in Roswell says the word you were looking for is pumice, ground up lava rock. And to hell with washing Bush's mouth out with soap, Michael writes. He's lying out of his ass. Give him a high colonic with lava. Oh, you people are terrible. You people are terrible. Here's something... No, we just did that one. All right, here's his plan for trade. This is from last night, also known as the ongoing attack on the American worker. If Mensa Man is so concerned with improving the economy, why? Why is he insistent on passing all these trade deals with countries who have human rights records that would make the now dead Suharto blush? Like Colombia? A country that has ordered the killing of 72 trade union leaders in 2006? But never mind, never mind. He wants to cut deals with these countries, which will increase the trade deficit, as in the South Korean auto industry, and will send even more American jobs overseas, right? But really what he wants to do with Colombia is make nice so he can send a U.S. expeditionary force there to attack Venezuela.
We must trust American workers to compete with anyone in the world and empower them by opening up new markets overseas. At the same time, we're pursuing opportunities to open up new markets by passing free trade agreements.
Free trade agreements.
I thank the Congress for approving a good agreement with Peru.
Yeah.
And now I ask you to approve agreements with Colombia and Panama and South Korea. Many products from these nations now enter America duty-free. Yet many of our products face steep tariffs in their markets. These agreements will level the playing field.
How?
They will give us better access to nearly 100 million customers.
No, it won't.
They will support good jobs for the finest workers in the world.
In Korea.
Those whose products say, made in the USA.
Hey, Chuckle Nuts, when's the last time you saw that on label anywhere? For Christ's sake, I went out and bought candy canes at Christmas, and they were made in China! Excuse me, I don't mean to yell. It's just, I don't know what makes me more furious. Just straight out lies, or an idiot who lies. Someone who thinks that I'm an idiot because he's an idiot and lies. Someone who would not know the truth if it came up and nibbled on his ankles or bit him on the ass. He doesn't understand truth. Plus, he is a dumb, stupid, ignorant man. Somebody hands him the stuff to read. I would love to jump out of the bushes with a map of South America and say, George, quick, show me. Where's Colombia? Where's Peru? Where's South America? Oh, I know. He bought land in, was it Paraguay? Where did all the Nazis go when the ones we didn't want in you know, to work in our bomb and missile and death programs after World War II? Where'd they go to Paraguay? Since there was sadly no warnings about the dangers of human-animal hybrid this time, like he talked about last time, remember the last time the last State of the Union, when he talked about human-animal hybrids, beasts, human-animal hybrid beasts. Well, he didn't have any of that. Talk about the island of Dr. Moreau, but this will have to do as my favorite off-the-wall quote from last night's madness. On matters of life and science, here he is, Mini-Mind.
On matters of life and science, we must trust in the innovative spirit of medical researchers and empower them to discover new treatments while respecting moral boundaries. In November, we witnessed a landmark achievement when scientists discovered a way to reprogram adult skin cells to act like embryonic stem cells. This breakthrough has the potential to move us beyond the divisive debates of the past by extending the frontiers of medicine without the destruction of human life. And as we explore promising avenues of research, we must also ensure that all life is treated with the dignity it deserves. And so I call on Congress to pass legislation that bans unethical practices such as the buying, selling, patenting, or cloning of human life.
That must really upset Dick Cheney to hear that. You know, no more buying spare body parts for you. What? What does he say? Without the destruction of human life. What human life has been destroyed in Bush world? Is he talking once again about zygotes and blastocysts and fertilized ova? He has no problem with destroying human life, whether it's in a Texas death chamber or at wedding parties in Fallujah. It doesn't matter. Ah, you miserable bastard. And Cheney, that was the only time in the speech last night where I saw Cheney kind of twitch when he heard that bit about, and so I call on Congress to pass legislation that bans, buying, selling human things. Cheney's sitting there going, shut up. Shut up, you little bastard. At some point, I'm going to need livers, kidneys, hearts, eyes, fingers. And you want me to stop? I need a foot right now. What? Pass legislation. Moving into more familiar and comfortable territory, Bush spews some tough talk on terror with some odd choices of examples of his wondrous foreign policy at work. Oh, yeah, this is the one about murdering wedding guests.
The past 7 years, we've also seen the images that have sobered us.
Well, maybe not you.
We've watched throngs of mourners in Lebanon and Pakistan carrying the caskets of beloved leaders taken by the assassin's hand.
Wedding guests.
We've seen wedding guests in blood-soaked finery staggering from a hotel in Jordan.
Uh-huh.
Afghans and Iraqis blown up in mosques and markets.
Yeah.
And trains in London and Madrid ripped apart by bombs.
Fallujah. Say Fallujah.
On a clear September day, we saw thousands of our fellow citizens taken from us in an instant.
9-11! 9-11!
These horrific images serve as a grim reminder.
Reminder.
The advance of liberty is opposed by terrorists and extremists. Evil men who despise freedom, despise America, and aim to subject millions to their violent rule.
Oh, but you're talking about yourself. Oh, for Christ's sake, don't you get it? Oh, George, please, just once. You almost hear him say, but we hope you evil, America-hating, Constitution-shredding Democrats will someday stop objecting to millions of your violent rule, blah, whatever. I don't know. He starts out by saying, "The past 7 years, yeah, that's right. We've seen horrific violence. Let me see, what is it? What is significant about the past 7 years that has brought about all these unspeakable horrors? Let me see, it's coming to me. Give me a minute. George Bush, Dick Cheney, neocons. Oh, there you go. We got time for one more? All right, we have to take a break. And when we come back, we have a couple more of these. So if you had to leave the room and you came back thinking they were finished, we're not. So stick around, and then we're going to take some phone calls, okay? I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Doing talk radio right, from the left, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 9 before the hour. Judas Priest? All right, back to Raisin Brain. Bush now touts his many successes in Afghanistan. He says kids are back in school, new roads are being built, the Taliban is defeated, the people have new hope. Nice talking points. Problem is, not one of them is true. He's lying on all counts. According to the National Security Network, this. Mohammad Hanif Atmar, the Afghanistan's bright young minister of education, said that Taliban terrorist attacks killed 147 students and teachers over the past 10 months and seriously injured another 200. This campaign of intimidation closed 590 schools last year, 350 the year before, in areas where students are too scared to go to school. The roads? Highway 1 is the country's main road, the route between Kabul and Kandahar, the country's second largest city. The highway, which has been rebuilt with $250 million from the U.S., remains bedeviled by danger, extortion, and treachery. police corruption and insurgent attacks sow fear and make traveling many sections of the road a lottery. As for the Taliban and our masterful and the hopeful, as for the Taliban and our masterful and hopeful feelings, the Afghans hold dear to their hearts this. Afghans have grown sharply more critical of U.S. efforts in their country and in the beleaguered southwest of their country. In that area, support for the Taliban, ousted from power 6 years ago, is on the rise. For the first time, a national ABC News survey finds that more than half of Afghans disapprove of U.S. efforts. Two-thirds of Afghans say they can't afford basic fuel supplies. 54% say they can't afford food.
In Afghanistan, America, our 25 NATO allies, and 15 partner nations are helping the Afghan people defend their freedom and rebuild their country. Thanks to the courage of these military and civilian personnel, a nation that was once a safe haven for Al-Qaeda is now a young democracy where boys and girls are going to school. New roads and hospitals are being built, and people are looking to the future with new hope.
My God.
These successes must continue. So we're adding 3,200 Marines to our forces in Afghanistan, where they will fight the terrorists and train the Afghan army and police. Defeating the Taliban and Al-Qaeda is critical to our security, and I thank the Congress for supporting America's vital mission in Afghanistan.
It's just unbelievable. It doesn't make any difference what the facts are. It doesn't make any difference what Afghans say, or independent observers say, or NATO commanders say, or the Canadian military says. It makes no difference. This rat bastard stands there and lies over and over. And what happens when the lies come lurching out of his mouth? Like blackbirds out of a pie. The Republicans stand up and cheer. Now that we've worked through his lies about progress in Afghanistan, let's take a peek into his statements of success in Iraq with more unintended irony from this unelected idiot. Pay attention to all his happy talk about defeating Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And, of course, he's missing a significant point about his precious legacy.
When we met last year, militia extremists, some armed and trained by Iran, were wreaking havoc in large areas of Iraq.
Oh, my God.
A year later, coalition and Iraqi forces have killed or captured hundreds of militia fighters. When we met last year, Al-Qaeda had sanctuaries in many areas of Iraq.
Thanks to you.
And their leaders had just offered American forces safe passage out of the country. Today, it is Al-Qaeda that is searching for safe passage. They have been driven from many of the strongholds they once held. And over the past year, we've captured or killed thousands of extremists in Iraq, including hundreds of key Al-Qaeda leaders and operatives. Ladies and gentlemen, some may deny the surge is working, but among the terrorists, there is no doubt.
On the run.
Al-Qaeda is on the run in Iraq, and this enemy will be defeated.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Oh, excuse me. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that there was no Al-Qaeda in Iraq until this poster boy for terrorism began his bloody crusade against innocent Muslim citizens in that sad country. I love it when he says, over the past year we've captured or killed thousands of extremists in Iraq, including hundreds of key Al-Qaeda leaders and operatives. Several of them, we've killed them over and over again. We'll kill them. We'll keep killing them. Sons of bitches, we've killed them. We killed them on Monday, and they come back alive. And we have to kill them on Tuesday, and they come back alive. And we have to kill them on Wednesday. I need a drink. And then we kill them on Thursday, and they come back alive. But did you hear the applause there from the Republicans? Did you hear that? It was like, I don't know, it was like 200 males all having an orgasm at the same time. Oh, my God. And, of course, there was no Al-Qaeda there before. There was no Al-Qaeda there before. Oh, my God. Oh, it's time for a break? Oh, good. We'll be back after this break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Here's a note from Greg Palast. Greg writes, in his State of the Union, the president asked Congress for $300 million for poor kids in the inner city. As there are officially 15 million children in America living in poverty, how much is that per child? Correct, $20. Here's your second question. The president also demanded that Congress extend his tax cuts. The cost? $4.3 trillion over 10 years. The big recipients are millionaires, and the number of millionaires happens, not coincidentally, to equal the number of poor kids, roughly 15 million of them. So, what is the cost of the tax cut per millionaire? That's right, $287,000 apiece. Now, Mr. Bush also said, in neighborhoods across our country, there are boys and girls with dreams, and a decent education is their only hope of achieving them. So how much educational dreaming will $20 buy? Well, George Bush's alma mater, Philip Sandover Academy, tells us their annual tuition is $37,200. So the $20 Pell Grants for Kids, as the White House calls it, will buy a poor kid about 35 minutes of this educational dream. So they will have to wake up fairly quickly. $20 won't cover the cost of the final book in the Harry Potter series. Now, if you can't buy a book nor pay tuition with a sawbuck, what exactly can a poor kid buy with $20 in urban America? The Palast investigative team donned baseball caps and big pants and discovered we could obtain what local citizens call a rock of crack cocaine. For $20, we were guaranteed we could fulfill any kid's dream for at least 15 minutes. Now we could see the incontrovertible logic in what appeared to be quixotic ravings by the president about free trade with Colombia, Pell Grants for kids, and the surge in Iraq. In Iraq, General Petraeus tells us we must continue to feed the troops for another 10 years. There is no way the military can recruit these freedom fighters unless our lower-income youth are high, hooked, and desperate. Don't say crack vials, they're democracy rocks. The plan would have been clearer if Mr. Bush had kept in his speech the line from his original draft, which read, I've ordered 30,000 additional troops to Iraq this year, and I'm proud to say my military-age kids are not among them. Of course, there's an effective alternative to Mr. Bush's plan, which won't cost a penny more. Simply turn it upside down. Let's give each millionaire in America a $20 bill, and every poor kid $287,000. And there's an added benefit to this alternative. Had we turned Mr. Bush and his plan upside down, he could have spoken to Congress from his heart. Greg Palast, Raisin Brain, last one. Chucklenuts ends his speech with lofty rhetoric about the Founding Fathers and the Constitution, the document he called Goddamn Piece of Paper. something that he seeks daily to shred.
The strength, the secret of our strength, the miracle of America, is that our greatness lies not in our government, but in the spirit and determination of our people.
Applause.
When the Federal Convention met in Philadelphia in 1787, our nation was bound by the Articles of Confederation, which began with the words, "We the undersigned delegates." When Governor Morris was asked to draft the preamble to our new Constitution,
Governor?
He offered an important revision and opened with words that changed the course of our nation and the history of the world. We the people.
Uh-huh.
By trusting the people, our founders wagered that a great and noble nation could be built on the liberty that resides in the hearts of all men and women. By trusting the people, succeeding generations transformed our fragile young democracy into the most powerful nation on earth and a beacon of hope for millions. And so long as we continue to trust the people, our nation will prosper, our liberty will be secure, and the state of our union will remain strong.
Excuse me. Governor Morris? No, George, his first name was Governor Morris. Governor. So as long as we continue to trust the people, what? You don't trust the people. You spy on them. You feed them phony, prepackaged news stories. You plant fake reporters in the press room. You stage phony FEMA press conferences. You have scripted troop talks. You carry fake turkeys. You release doctored terror tapes. I'm coming to you! And refuse to release documents to Congress that might implicate your gang or your war crimes or destruction of torture videotapes or emails related to outing Valerie Plame. And you create fake backdrops and start illegal wars based on lies to the people you claim to trust? Oh, God. Here, George, try some of this. It's astonishing. One last thing here. Linear Bob emailed in and wants to know if he's missing something. He said, Mike, am I mistaken? Didn't I read recently that the largest opium crop in history is growing in Afghanistan? Here, Bob, try some of this. Back to your phone calls. Barbara is calling from Cave Creek, Arizona. Hey, Barbara.
Oh, my God. That was torture.
It tortured me.
Are
you talking about the sound bites or the fake?
Oh, the sound bites.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about maybe the fake pipe sucking sound.
No.
Oh, the sound bites. Yes, it was.
I've been on hold. Oh, my God.
Is your ear bleeding?
Yeah, well, there was something that happened afterwards that was frightening.
Yeah, what was that?
Well, it was the fight for getting of handshaking. They had a close-up camera as they were exiting. I just caught this, 5 seconds of it. And Bush is walking down and shaking hands with people.
Uh-huh.
And people are fighting to shake hands with each other. And Hillary was shaking hands with Kennedy.
Yeah, I saw those pictures tonight.
Yeah, but there was more to it.
The way Obama was turning away?
No, Obama was trying to get Bush to shake his hand, and Bush wouldn't.
No.
He had to get real close to see what was going on.
Really?
Bush is shaking hands all around him. He walks past Obama and Kennedy.
Yeah.
Obama's trying to go, Mr. President. And he completely snubs him, and it's barely in the camera, but there it is. And then Kennedy is actually jovially, saying hi to Hillary. And I think if Obama doesn't turn around and shake her hand, there's something wrong. And that's upsetting to me. But the Republican thing was set up from the beginning. I mean, it's not even a contest. They were just trying to, Rudy, get the Italians and the Jews and the East Coast. And we have the two Western guys. So they had to get somebody from the East to...
Wait a minute. They're trying to get the Italians and the Jews.
Yeah, on the East Coast, the Republicans, you know, and the Irish.
That'll never happen. I can tell you right now. Because I'm one of those.
No, you have to have lived in New York. There are tons of them. There's tons of Republicans. There's a base and in Florida. But how do we know, Mike, how anybody really voted at all? Because I have yet to speak to anybody who doesn't want, I'm over 50 and I don't have any estrogen. John Edwards.
Hey, hold on a minute, Barbara. Okay. Hold on. Papa Pill will come right back after the break. We're going to pick up again with Barbara when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
And every morning get up stages. Self-evident, well this is evident, yeah, in the American way, you must give, and I shall take, I will tell you what is moral and what's just, because I want, because I will, because I can.
Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
It's 21 past the hour. We're talking with Barbara in Cave Creek, Arizona. All right, now did you get
your meds? I'm calm.
You got your meds? Flashes over?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I just want you to know that in the news today there was an article about in India they were stealing kidneys from young men who are showing up for jobs. And they're actually been stealing their kidneys, and then there's Kenya. And what's going on in the world is so unbelievably, unbearably overwhelming. And the Republicans are completely in line. They've been in line. I said a long time ago, McCain, you know, it's not going to be Giuliani at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he faked a hospital visit so he could have some, what I call, is what they're always, this is my plausible deniability.
Right.
That there's always plausible deniability. So if you have a plausible deniability, you have a candidate that they change the vote, you know, they use the voting machines and mess us up again, but they have plausible deniability by not having Edwards on the top of the ticket. Because nobody would believe that he would lose once he would get up there and be the candidate. But now, if it's Obama or Clinton, it's plausible deniability. See what happened to the Democrats?
Yeah.
And I don't know why the Democrats can't see through this.
It's all
why they're going along with this.
It's all a sham, isn't it?
It's a complete sham. It's an abomination.
It's just a hallucinatory dream.
But I have to say one thing.
Yeah.
I'm still going to vote for the and pray that the Democrats get in no matter what it is. Because John Edwards is part of the party. Because we still, I just feel like we can't not have them in. We need to do what we did in 2006 because they want to trick us into not voting for the Democrats. Even if it is Hillary or if it is Obama or... They want to trick us to, because there is a difference between the two parties. There's a huge difference in the philosophies, even though, and you know, I look at Hillary, and it's like she knows something that we don't know, which the Republicans seem to know, because the Republicans are fighting over who's going to, don't you dare say we're getting out of Iraq. And the Democrats are going, don't you dare say we're staying in. And Hillary's got to know that they could pull any number of attacks on the United States just to, you know, and then the Democrats look weak.
Yeah.
And it's a scam. It's all a scam, and we've really still got to support our party.
Well, I hear what you're saying, Barbara. I do, and I appreciate your way of putting it. I don't know. I'm lost. Totally lost. Thanks, Barbara. Appreciate you checking in. You know, and on top of all this, you know, listening to all this and watching all this, and the State of the Union lies, the political campaigns, the, you know, all of this stuff. I got an email from Edie over in Montgomery, Alabama, and she's, I'll get to that one in a second, from Kate on the coast, down the Mississippi coast, Kate, who's down there working with people who are still homeless and still trying to deal with formaldehyde in their bloodstream and their lungs. And she writes four or five paragraphs, but here's the last little bit. She writes, here in the miserable state of Mississippi, where debates and non-elections really don't matter much to some folks who are still in their stinky little trailers, here it is cold and wet, and the man living in his tent tonight doesn't have a television. Whatever will he do tonight for entertainment? Oh, well, never mind. Kate on the coast, and it just makes, when you stop and think that in that State of the Union address last night, not a word. Was there a mention, Kathy, of the Katrina victims and the worst so-called natural disaster ever to hit this country in terms of not necessarily in terms of lives lost, but in terms of families dislocated and lives lost and property damage, nothing like it. And to call it a natural disaster is a filthy lie. There was nothing natural about the levees breaking. Please remember forever and ever and ever and ever that it wasn't Hurricane Katrina that dislocated all those people and killed all those people and flooded all those parts of New Orleans and Mississippi Gulf Coast. It was, well, in Mississippi Gulf Coast, it was Hurricane Katrina. But in New Orleans, it was the Army Corps of Engineers and the politicians. And regarding the people in the young men in India selling their body parts, Edie in Montgomery wrote me something that kind of ties into that. I'll share that with you when we come back. And then on to your phone calls. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
Subliminable messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
Before the hour, Edie in Montgomery writes, Mike, when you mentioned Monsanto Chemical Company last night, I was reminded of the current epidemic in India. It is an epidemic of suicide. As in other poor countries, the poor who once eked out a living farming, thanks to the likes of Archer Daniels Midland, can no longer feed their families because they cannot compete in the marketplace. These men, young and old, take their own lives in greater numbers every year. In fact, they and their families are being murdered by this gold rush called globalization. To see the grief and hopelessness on the faces of the women, the children, the old people left behind is heartbreaking. Sometimes the men are found in their fields, dead or dying after drinking insecticide. How in the world can we ever atone for our part in this worldwide genocide of the most helpless of our fellow human beings? Where is the bottom? I don't know. There's certain elements of the United States, Edie, that has long broken through the bottom, long ago, I think. All right, phone calls. Yes, where are we here? John is calling from the Bay Area, listening on the Internet. Hey, John.
Oh, hi. Hey, Mike.
Hey.
I wanted to talk about the war, but a couple of callers have brought up something, so it reminded me of something. But first off, you talked about how can any American do our own country, and what motivates these senators to offshore people's jobs and start making computer chips that are in our weaponry overseas, and we hardly have any foundries. If we needed to make ships, we'd have to ask China, oh, can you put in an order for us? Mm-hmm. And maybe some night you would talk on the CFR, the Council of Foreign Relations. In England, it's called the Royal Foreign Relations. But anyway, it's the same body worldwide. And this organization is pretty much the enforcement arm of the world's rich, the world's oligarchs. So maybe some night you'd want to talk on that.
Well, that's a little deep for me, but I know it's a topic. I think people just need to check that out for themselves.
Because I always wondered what would motivate Americans to do our country in? What would make them gut our treasury? But you find out about these organizations.
Well, see, I think it's because we're ignorant. I don't see an overarching conspiracy on the part of international bankers or.
Oh no, that's not what I said. No. These people carry out the world's oligarchs that they have meetings, and they want certain industries to go here and go there. And
right,
that's what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying, John. Yeah. But my response to that is, if people were not so ignorant, if people refuse to vote against their own best interests, if people refuse to be convinced that being in the union is a bad thing as opposed to a good thing, then the oligarchs, the people who do control the flow of capital or who do decide issues like NAFTA and the World Trade Organization and GATT and so on and so forth, those people wouldn't have an Ice Cube's chance in hell, because the general population would say no, hell no, and wouldn't let it happen. So it's our ignorance that is perpetrating this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, John?
Except that when our media is totally co-opted, but that's another subject. Your news keeps talking about the thing in Florida with Clinton, and it's getting a little irritating here. Everybody in the Democratic side, Barack Obama, Edwards, and Clinton, and the rest of them, all agreed that they would abide by the rules that the DNC that Michigan and Florida are out. And Clinton went in there and put her name on the ballot in Michigan, and she kind of got her Republican machine to go into Florida. And I say Republican machine because we all remember when the Clintons went and vacationed up with the Bushes up there. And at the time,
right.
I thought that's all innocent. I thought, well, that's all innocent and everything. But
none of that stuff is innocent. And the thing is, John, let's not be surprised. Okay, let's not be surprised. The deck is stacked. The dice are loaded. There's only one or two ways left to reassert control by the people, and the Florida Democratic non-primary is not one of them. Thanks, John. I appreciate you checking in. This is from Asha, who writes, Mike, I fail to understand why a lot of people, well, they get Iran correct, e.g. Iran. When it comes to Iranians, they say Iranians. Mike, please, if the country is pronounced Iran, wouldn't it stand to reason that the correct pronunciation of the people of that country would be Iranians? peace. Asha. Well, I guess it would, yeah. Iranians. Yeah, okay. Just sloppiness on my part. Kathy, you need to correct me. Because I say Iranians. Iranians. Back to your phone calls. Dan is calling from Wisconsin, Franksville, Wisconsin, listening on the mic. Hey, Dan.
Yeah, I've been listening for a couple of months here since the last time I called. I'm glad over these couple of months you've been sending the media to the cleaners, because that seems just like this last guy was talking about.
Well, they've always been one of my targets for years and years and years, and pretty much all the years I've been in radio, Dan. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. They got to be number one. I mean, to be even before Bush and all these people. I mean, with the corruption is just breathtaking, like the Hoover Dam blowing out. In fact, I was just thinking of Fahrenheit 451 and Orwell 1984. It's actually worse. It's actually worse. You don't need fire trucks, because the people that are reading the books, they're so nuts. They're not a threat that you don't need the fire department to come and burn the books and all that stuff. So, or actually the Fahrenheit 451, that's almost a joke nowadays, you know? Mm-hmm. And what else was there on, you know, I was thinking about Hillary Clinton and stuff. I don't know about Hillary Clinton. I was looking at watching C-SPAN and stuff, and I couldn't believe it. I'd seen Madeline, the megalomaniac murderer, standing next to her, clapping and cheering. I'm like, oh, my God.
Who?
There's that Madeline.
Albright?
Madeline, the megalomaniac murderer.
Yeah.
That's it. That's her, yep. Standing there right next to Hillary cheering and stuff. I'm thinking, well, there's a half a million mostly young people dead. Well, there's your... Oh, boy, she's going to do a lot.
Yeah, and you know what else? No matter how anyone tries to spin it, the big vote-getter in Florida, the one who got more votes than anyone else, was, drumroll please, Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Huh?
Isn't that nice? Yeah. So the fake election, all the way from the beginning with the these are the front runners. They got all this money. Here's your front runners. Here's your people to vote for. The whole thing is fraudulent. It's basically fraudulent. And you know, other people, even Edwards. You know, he's like out of the picture. You know, he's nobody, because he said something naughty about the corporate media or whatever, even though he may not do nothing about it, but just even talking about it, you're eliminated.
Yeah.
Unreal. God, I couldn't believe, if I can say one more thing, I couldn't believe it. Here I am thinking, you know, should I start drinking alcohol again, or shouldn't I, and stuff, and all of a sudden I hear one of the mainstream, so-called mainstream networks and stuff, in between the break, even Walmart is thinking about cutting prices, because they even want to do their part to jumpstart the economy. Oh, turbocharge China's economy? Is that what they're going to do? I mean,
Walmart is going to cut prices?
What does that mean?
Go ahead.
Yeah, so they can do their part. This is really out of the mainstream CNN. You know what I mean? They're going to do their part to jumpstart the economy. Oh, with all their Chinese goods, that ought to jumpstart the economy.
All right, Dan.
Jesus.
I got to leave it there. Thanks, Dan. I appreciate you checking in. Don't wait 6 months. What did he say? 3 months before you call back, okay? Oh, you people are wearing me out here. Mark is calling from Joplin, Missouri. Hey, Mark, welcome to the program. There's Mark. Hi, Mark.
Mike, you know, listening to Bush tonight, your clips, and last night with you, but he just provides a lovely combination of cerebral wind shear and mental ping pong.
Cerebral wind shear?
And mental ping pong. Just put them together and roll.
Right. But, hey, can you, Mark, hold on?
Sure.
Let me put you on hold for a minute. I know you've been holding on since about the start of the program, but let me put you on hold. We got to do a break here. We'll come back and finish up with Mark. All right. Everybody still there? Huh? You haven't left yet? Good. All right, stick around. We just have a few more minutes of this and then relief. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Go to work in the rain. I don't know why.
my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in, to kind of catapult the propaganda.
Yeah. Thanks to our crew, Ian Hoff, who engineered your program for you tonight, also answered your calls, Billy Foster, our technical director, Ben Birch, the podcast manager, Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Robert Alexander, our resident philosopher, and Catherine Bay, our executive producer. Again, welcome, Dallas, Texas, True Seekers, 1360 AM KMNY. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Back to Mark, who is listening in Joplin, Missouri. All right, where were we, Mark?
Well, I was just saying that until and unless more and a very significant number of people get out and vote, become involved in politics, learn what it's about, and vote, we're going to continue to be relegated to the role, and I'm talking about we the people, is window dressing. I mean, that was pretty evident in Bush's speech, that
right.
We the people are just window dressing on this democracy facade that's put up there and just mouthed about that.
Well, you're absolutely right. I don't know how to make the point any more clearly than you have, and it's something that we have been warned about for the past 25 years. How many political scientists kept saying to us that we're going to lose this thing that the framers handed us 230 years ago if we don't exercise the elemental aspect of it, and that's to get off our asses and go vote. Even if the choices are bad, you still go vote so that candidates understand that there is an electorate out there and eventually they will react. If we were all in the habit of voting, then I don't think we'd be in the mess that we're in. Well, what's it going to be? This year may be a massive turnout, which means, what, 68% of eligible voters will go to the polls? What is it normally? Barely half of people?
Or less
of people who are eligible. So nobody rode into town on the backs of tanks and stole our democracy. We have, the Nazis didn't come on little cat feet. We have handed it to them. I mean, they did come on little cat feet. We handed it to them. We handed it to the corporatists because we refuse to do exactly what you're saying. Get off our asses and go vote. The basic franchise, vote. Let yourself be heard. Nah, too busy. Nah, it's raining out. Nah, I don't want to. Nah, I don't like the candidates. Nah, it's a rigged game. Nah, nah, nah. Well, eventually it's goodbye democracy.
Yes.
And that's kind of where we're at. Thanks, Mark. You make a good point. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Lauren, who is in Canada, writes regarding Iran and Iranians. Lauren writes, Canada, Canadians. I think it's Iranians because I'm not a Canadian. Point taken, Lauren. Well, we got time for it. Yeah, we do. We have time for more calls. Charles is calling from Connecticut. Hey, Charles, welcome to the program.
Hello, good evening.
Hi.
Hello to everybody in the chat room.
Which chat room?
Your chat room.
Oh, my chat room. At Nova M?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I know we scared you away a long time ago.
No, I can't keep up with y'all. I can't do chat rooms. I can't do it. By the time I go to answer a question, 97 other responses have showed up, and my little response shows up 97 down, and it makes no sense. I like to watch what happens in a chat room, so to speak, but, I just can't do it. You guys are too fast for me.
Yeah, well, I know. When I told you that The Sopranos was not reality, and it freaked you out.
It did. It freaked me out completely.
But anyways, to Georgie's and Nancy Pelosi's little stimulus package.
Doesn't that sound vaguely...
It's an insult.
Doesn't it sound faintly obscene also?
Yeah, I get the feeling that, they're going to tickle my prostate with a crowbar.
Right. Well, I didn't think of it that way, but yeah, that's close.
But what it is, it won up Marie Antoinette, who at least said, let them eat cake. This is let them have chewing gum.
Chewing gum.
It's less substantial, and it doesn't address the core problem. If you took the money back, the welfare checks to the wealthy, who was a tremendous pressure to be that wealthy,
yeah.
You had tariffs, because everywhere where you have a country with a thriving economy,
yeah.
You have tariffs there. If you undo that, bring back real jobs, it will fix it. There's the old saying, give a man a fish, he eats for the day. Teach yeah. him to fish, he eats forever.
Yeah.
This is chewing gum. It's not even a fish.
I get you. You're absolutely right, Charles. And that's very true. Thanks, Charles. I appreciate it. Stimulus package. I swear to God, that it just, you know, when you stop and think about it, Pelosi and Bush working out a stimulus package. Here, can I touch your stimulus package? I'll let you touch mine. Oh, be careful now. Stimulus package. Stimulus package. Oh. Last one. This is from William in Hollywood. Mike, in the subject line, remember those eight balls. Mike, what the hell are they all about? They remind me of those elections and the candidates. What? The eight balls remind me of these elections and the candidates. There was not one positive thing in one of those eight balls. Once you made your wish and turned it over for the answer to float into view, it was always something like, ask again later, or highly unlikely, or perhaps. I can't remember one answer that was positive. Who designed these things? A demented Republican or a depressed Democrat? No wonder I'm so screwed up, either from the messages in the eight ball or the chemical inside that leaked and the CDC never told us about. William from Hollywood. All right, now here's, as far as Iranians and Iran, how about this one from Lance? Americans, sheep. See you tomorrow night. Take care. I'm Mike Malloy. Keep it lit. This is the Nova M Radio Network.